Today we're going to talk about chapter 8. Last week Josh touched on chapter 7, Think Like an Ant. And it's from the book called The 9 Things You Simply Must Do by Dr. Henry Cloud. It's a book that all of the leaders are reading right now. And it's a pretty good book. Dr. Henry Cloud, he's a Christian author. Has many successful businesses, and he actually right now does different speaking engagements across the country, and he also runs a practice where he helps business owners how to deal with being effective leaders. And what I love about him, which is why I like this book, is that he uses Christian principles and uses the Word of God to bring out the best in people. If you want more information about the book, you can get in contact with Pastor Maurice or Pastor Cecilia to get more information, maybe how you can get the book, or maybe they can get the book for you. In the chapter 8, it's titled Hate Well. And now, I know when y'all hear hate well, you know, you're like, what does that mean? What does hating well mean? And it really talks about just the right way as believers and how to deal when we have issues and problems in our lives. And I think it's important because as in the body of Christ, we don't talk about that a lot, how to deal with the emotion of hate. We don't talk about how to deal with the emotion of even sadness. How do we deal with hate, or how do we deal with love? How do we deal with emotions, especially as a new believer? So I think it was very important that he did put this chapter right after chapter 7, which is Think Like an Ant, because you know, if you can't handle hate, then you know, all those little steps that you're trying to take to be whatever God wants you to be, you can't accomplish it. You can't achieve it. And so, and we're going to talk about that today. And the main scripture we're going to come from is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, and also Psalms 100, verses 3 through 7. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Chapter, everybody found it? You found it, say amen. Yeah, I always wanted to do that. And it reads, this is from the King James Version. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. You know, that's where the book is one of the main passages that Henry uses. And we're going to go through that a little bit deeper. But Henry, when he begins the book, he talks about his business partner. Now, he doesn't give him a name, so we're going to give him a name. We're going to call him Bob. All right, we're going to call Bob the business partner. And one of the things that he loved about his business partner is that his partner was also as very successful as Henry, and he loved that his partner was very thorough. He was very particular about things. One of the things that Henry liked about his partner was that he asked Henry's associates about, you know, Henry. You know, he asked questions like, what is Henry about? What is he about before he partnered up with him? And that's one of the things Henry liked about him. And Bob, he came into the business partnership, you know, later on And one day in the partnership, there was this surprise that happened. It was some kind of debt that it was a debt that it came out of nowhere, and it wasn't a big debt. You know, we're talking about $1 million partnership. Now that's big for me. I'm not at $1 million, but I want to be. Come on, someone. That's what Reese would say, right? And it just wasn't a big thing. You know, it was something minor, but Bob called a partnership meeting on it. And, you know, he got all the partners in the room and he starts saying, "Hey, you know, guys, I don't like surprises. You know, I'm not here to offend anybody or step on toes or, you know, come at you guys the wrong way, but this really affected me this way. Now, we can deal with this. I wouldn't be in business if I didn't understand partners have problems sometimes. But, hey, we're going to deal with this, you know, accordingly. And I'm just letting you guys know, I just don't like surprises." Now, as he was talking and explaining the issue, you know, Henry has a deja vu moment. In the book, throughout the book, in all the chapters, he describes successful people as deja vu people, people who does these different things that allows them to be successful. And the ha-ha moment was just the way he confronted the issue that he didn't belittle the partners. He didn't come at them and just say, "Oh, you guys are just liars, y'all deceitful, y'all just corrupted." He came at them in a way that still respected the partners, most importantly, and at the same time addressed the issue. That's always a good thing. I want to talk about, well, Maurice Hicks, Uncle Reese, he's not here, but when you see a person and they deal with issues that way, with the way they deal with hate. Hate is described as something that defines us. It's going to tell a lot about you. You know, if you hate smoking, 9 times out of 10, you may not be around a person who smokes. If you don't like a person that lies, you know, once that person lies, then it may cause you to go start not hanging out with that person, or you may start removing that person from your circle. If you don't like a person that is not eating correctly, you know, you really you don't like a person that's not eating correctly, you may start hanging around more with people that work out, you know, that takes care of their body more. And in the book, Henry uses a definition from the Webster's dictionary for the word balance. Balance, it describes in Webster, is the degree of attractiveness an individual, activity, or object possesses as a behavioral goal. And so pretty much whatever you hate, those characteristics, you're going to either be attracted to that person, and you're going to push away other people. So if I'm a person that hates when a person lies, eventually I'm going to hate those people that lie, and I'm going to surround myself with people that tell the truth and they're straight up and honest. And that's what Henry enjoyed the most about. That will actually make him respect him more as a partner, because he was a person that did not like dishonesty. He's a person that loves being honest and direct about everything that's going on. Hate also protects good. It allows us, again, like I said, to move towards certain issues, and eventually, you know, you're going to go that route, or you're going to go the opposite way. And the verse that Henry uses is from Romans chapter 12, verse 9, where it says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And a good example he used in the book as well is that hate acts like an immune system. I know for myself, you know, whenever I don't really get a cold. You know, I don't get sick at all, really. If my body starts feeling the symptoms of, I start coughing, or if I started, you know, my nose start running, my body really reacts, and maybe in a couple of days I don't have it anymore. You know, and so that's what hate can do, and it really just purges out the negative if it's used well, and really can be used to edify and bring positivity into a situation. Now here's some verses from Proverbs. This made me think about Proverbs 18:21. Death and life. Yeah, I can go to it. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 18, verses 21. Everybody got it? Okay. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's the King James Version. It also made me think of some other verses. Proverbs 12, chapter 12, verses 13. Evildoers are trapped by their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. And again from Proverbs chapter 13, verses 3. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. And also Proverbs chapter 21, verses 23. Those who guard their mouths and their tongues keep themselves from calamity. Now those other verses was from the NIV. But it makes me think about, well, if the way I speak to people, if I have an issue or a problem, if somebody bothered me to do something the wrong way, I gotta be more careful with my words. I gotta be more careful with the way I speak. And I'm a person that firmly believes in generational curses and blessings. You know, we can say something to our brothers and sisters. We can say something, or even something that our parents say to us can affect us in a way that can literally cause the generations to be affected by it in a negative way. And that's why I also like the example he used, when he talked about hating unwisely. Henry, the author, he used an example talking about a couple, a married couple named Jody and Tony. And Tony, he was very charismatic, he was very spontaneous, you know, he was, you know, very a go-getter, very energetic. He would do different things with Jody, and Jody, she loved that about Tony. You know, she loved that about him, and it was almost like an adventure. He would just do different things and make her laugh, and she just loving giggle and all that stuff. And so eventually they end up getting married. In their marriage, you know, stuff was going good, just like as it was before, you know, but over time there was little things that Jody realized that she probably didn't notice before. No, not Jody, baby boy. no, Josh. All right. But, okay, I understand, Josh. But no, But anyway, Jody noticed that Tony, being the way he was, very spontaneous, that he would forget certain things. He would, you know, maybe it was minor. He forgot to pay the bill. Maybe it was a event that they were supposed to go to and maybe run a little late. You know, he may have forgot to pick up some medicine from CVS or whatever. And it just really got to Jody. So much so that she started to really attack Tony. Like, you're unreliable. You're unrelenting. You don't care about me. You don't care about my feelings. Why are you doing this? He starts just destroying Tony to a point where he started to pull back. Because he's trying his best as a husband. I mean, I know DJ Shine. I know that, you know, he wants to always, please, you know, his wife. And that's how Tony, he's like, where is this coming from? I want to deal with it. But he couldn't figure it out. So, it caused him to really just pull back from her. And just, you know, he's not paying attention to her as much. He's on his computer. And he doesn't know what to do. And she's also, the way she's treating Tony, she's treating the kids that way as well. Like, you're just disappointing me. I can't rely on you. It's like I gotta handle everything by myself. And so eventually they end up coming to Dr. Henry, and having marriage counseling. And so Henry asks, you know, first he asks Tony what's going on, and Tony's like, I don't know, and I'm trying my best, you know, because Tony right now, he's just pretty much beat up. He's just going through the routine of life, you know, and, you know, I'm trying to please my wife, and he knew, but he just didn't know where it was coming from. You know, he didn't know where this attack was coming from. And so he explained the situation. So Henry then asked Jody, like, what's wrong? And she was saying the things that I was saying earlier. You know, you don't understand. He's always doing this to me. He doesn't understand where I'm coming from. He knows why. This hurts me. It's very bad. And it sparked something in Henry's mind that this is something deeper. Well, come to find out, Jody came from an alcoholic, abusive environment with her parents. And her parents always let her down. Her parents always, they never came through with their situations in her life, and she had no way to really express that. So now, time's going on. She's married now. She's taking it out on the kids. She's taking it out on her husband, and there was actually a verse that he uses in Proverbs chapter 15, verses 18. And this is the NIV version. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. And Proverbs chapter 15, verses 18. And so she, like I said, she was taking it out on the kids, just taking it out on her husband. And when Henry realized that, he realized that she had to really deal with that. Because it then festered into something that he calls subjective hate. Where it's a hate that's just so, it's like whatever that was, it just wasn't dealt with. And it then festered into where now that you're dealing with your friends or you're dealing with your family or whatever, it's destroying those relationships, it's burning those bridges. Now you're trying to accomplish something and now you can't accomplish it anymore because you done exploded at the job, and now they gotta let you go, you know. And which actually reminds me, there was a news reporter not too long ago who murdered two coworkers. It was a situation like that where the job let him go because he wasn't getting along with the employees. He was calling them things that wasn't really happening. They eventually had to fire him. And so months later, a year later, he found out where they were reporting at. He killed the cameraman and the reporter. And now his life is completely ruined now. He's in jail. And that's just an example of how we can just, even if it was something small or just an issue I can fester, into something that can really destroy us. Now, the example I gave earlier with Henry's business partner, Bob, he calls that objective hate. He called it where a person's not going to allow those things to come into their being and fester and become something. They're going to deal with it. They're going to say, hey, this is an issue. And they may put, say if you have a problem with a person, instead of you just going off on them, you pull them aside, or you may have a cup of coffee, you may do something like that and say, hey, this is the problem I have, it's really bothering me, and I don't like the way it is now, we can come to a conclusion with this and deal with this and figure it out, I'm here with you, my friend, or whatever, and it keeps them moving towards their goals in their life. It keeps them from those relationships strong. And this is what I loved about the book. I like the book of Proverbs, so him to use the book of Proverbs was an example. Was a great example. It was a great, great thing that he did. He went to the other major's passage, which was Psalms 101, chapter 101, verses 3 through 7. Y'all can turn there with me. Psalms 101, verses 3 through 7. Did everybody find it? Okay. Start with verse 3. I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. The perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. The one whose walk is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. And that was King David. And what I liked is that, that verse goes exactly with, those verses go exactly with Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 and 19. The things that David hate is the things that God hate as well. And that's what I really loved about the book. And I took the book as, in this chapter, that, if we want to really walk this thing out as Christians, we got to take in the things that God hates in that, and really stand that and use that as the immune system so that we can walk out and be believers in Christ. And And I think that's just so important. I don't think we, like, we don't pay attention to the things that God hates. You know, a lot of people don't like the book of Leviticus, but I love the book of Leviticus because it shows the things that God don't like. It shows the things that God does like. And some people don't like the Old Testament, but when you read the Old Testament, you find a lot about the things that God doesn't like. They like to focus on the New Testament, be it God's love and God's peace. But if you really look at Jesus, you know, he moved the way his God, Father was in the New Testament as well. And there's things that he didn't like. Jesus was flipping tables. Jesus was telling the Pharisees about themselves. And I mean, he really handled it the way his Father did. And what I think is whenever you have issues or problems, just as Jesus did, you're going to not only just focus on the physical, you're going to focus on the spiritual. You're going to get, it's like you speaking into that person spiritually and you dealing with that issue. And they may not, sometimes they may not understand it, but it can become something good. Because I know the disciples, they may not understood what Jesus was saying to them at the time sometimes, but once they, you know, started to do what God wanted, Jesus wanted them to do after he left, you know, they understood. And that just goes back to my whole thing with generational blessings and curses. I was talking to my dad, I think it was on Thursday, and he was just speaking in my life, you know, just encouraging me, you know, just saying, talking about my talents, saying, like, you're a very talented young man, Demetrius. You're very smart. You can draw. You have very good with technology and all these things. And he gave an example, I think goes well with this, of how he was in McDonald's one day, and this old Black man, he probably was in his 70s or 80s, came in there and was just acting the fool, saying, I want a burger, I want a burger, I want it. And he's just yelling at the cashier, he's interrupting the line, I want a burger. So he takes his change and his dollars, his money, he just throws it on the counter. And then the cashier, she just picks it up, you know. And give it back to him. He's like, I want a burger. And so what happened, the managers came in, you know, two of the managers, they came and they, you know, they talked to him. It's like, oh, sir, do we have a problem? And so what happened, he just started cussing at them. He's like, cussing them out. Blah, 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 cussing. I can't cuss here. I can't, but. But you get what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. And so the managers were like, well, you can go to Checkers across the street and, you can go get a burger from there because we won't tolerate that. And so they kicked him out of McDonald's, and then my dad watched and he saw him go outside and sit on the curb and just angry, just full of hate. What happened a little bit later while my dad was still getting his food, he got somebody outside to get his burger for him. And so my dad was just thrown off by it. So when he went home, he talked to my mom about it. It was like, hey, you know, this guy was at McDonald's and he was acting crazy and stuff. And so my mom was like, well, he can't help it because look how the hate he has for his life has caused him to be destructive. And it popped in his head. And so, right now, my uncles on my mom's brothers, on my mom's side, they're just not doing well right now. You know, all of them, they're in their 50s, and their lives are just ruined. I got one uncle, you know, he came to my parents' house, you know, talking about committing suicide, and, you know, because he's a heavy alcoholic. He drinks literally constantly, and probably every couple of months end up in the hospital. I got another uncle, he just went back to jail for, you know, he's been on and off drugs. And another uncle, he's been on and off drugs too. So my mom was using that as an example that that person was just so upset about their life that they can't help it. They can't even get out of their situation. And I'm just saying that again just to drive the point that we can't allow the things that bother us in our lives, whether it was something from 20 years ago, maybe it was something to get in our lives, because it can really destroy us. You know, it can really destroy what God has made you to be, what God wants you to be, and how you can not only have success in your life, but just the success in your kids and your kids' kids and your friends and co-workers and all of their lives. That's why I thank my dad for doing that, because, you know, sometimes I do get down and I may think on past mistakes and it lingers to where I'm not pursuing what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, I love the conversation he had, because he was really showing his heart that he really cares about me, and he sees what God has put in me, and he wants me to accomplish it no matter what. Even if it's whatever mistakes it is, just do it. Because he doesn't want to see the kind of life that my uncles have happen to me. Even if I don't think it may not happen, but it can. I never thought my alcoholic uncle would be saying those things. I never thought of him doing that, but he's doing it. You know, and so, that's why I just wanted to drive that point. The great points to take away from this chapter on hating well is that hate, if it's used properly, can protect and preserve relationships. Hating unwise destroys everything. The things of God that he hates is our goal as believers. That's what we can take from it, really. And that's my sermon.